Dear brothers and sisters, today is the last session of the Beatitudes. Last week, we looked at blessed are those persecuted for the sake of righteousness. When you try to live righteously, you may face persecution. But through this, your faith matures and grows. The more it does, the better the dwelling place in heaven you enter. Through persecution, you change into a more complete person, becoming salt and light of the world and causing persecutions from others to lessen. Relatives who once criticized you for not attending family gatherings on Sunday now schedule gatherings on a day other than Sunday. Family and friends who once opposed your church goings now acknowledge and might even join you. When you fully walk in the light, the enemy, devil, and Satan has no grounds to accuse you. Achieving complete righteousness doesn't mean persecution fully disappears. And sometimes there are people who stumble when they get persecuted because it's difficult. It's hard to overcome that. And sometimes when people are persecuted, they use words to try and persuade you to stumble. And then, you know, they may say, I've never seen anyone so fervent as a Christian. Why do you act that way? Why do you go to church so fervently? And then you might get persuaded by thinking, and you might feel deceived thinking, oh, do I really have to go to church this fervently? So when you receive persecution for the sake of righteousness, there are two different types, one that I preached about last week and one for today. And when you think about persecution, there are some people who hold firm and there are some who stumble and go back into the world. But when we receive persecution, we must not stumble. We must not fear the world. We need to think of it as a grateful opportunity for us to be transformed. Because achieving complete righteousness doesn't always mean that persecution will completely disappear. Like today's passage, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Since the beginning of human cultivation, many have suffered to fulfill God's will. Above all, Jesus, the perfect essence of God, endured the punishment for us sinners. He had no blemish, but still endured it for us. To establish God's kingdom, Jesus was beaten, mocked, and crucified. And though innocent, John the Baptist was imprisoned and beheaded. Similarly, Jesus' 12 disciples, while preaching in his name, were beaten, imprisoned, and ultimately became martyrs. Most of them became martyrs. 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 27 shows the suffering that Apostle Paul endured while traveling throughout Asia to establish churches and spread the gospel in Rome. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah was martyred by being sawn in two by a wicked king. Moses faced persecution from Pharaoh and his army, and even endured suffering from the Israelites that he had led out. But their suffering did not come from being powerless. Jesus had the authority to call legions of angels to destroy the wicked. But figures like Moses, Paul, Peter, and John in the Old and New Testaments were witnesses of God's presence with them. Moses and Paul especially had great power, so much that they were revered as gods by many. Persecuted according to God's will, Moses and Paul did not try to hinder or avoid any persecutions because they knew it was God's providence being fulfilled. With a heart full of fervor, they cried out for God's will and acted according to God's command so His providence could come to pass. Jeremiah chapter 20 shows the prophet Jeremiah facing suffering from the people for proclaiming God's message about the impending disaster upon the sinful king and nation. Jeremiah received God's words and, you know, shared that with the Israelites. But of course, you know, it wasn't great, a good message, but it was a warning that if the Israelites did not follow God's warnings, God's words, then all of this impending disaster, the sufferings will come upon them. But the Israelites didn't want to hear that. The Israelites want to live their own lives and live easily, which was opposite and opposing Jeremiah's words from God. So when Jeremiah shared the words of God, then the Israelites would persecute Jeremiah, and Jeremiah knew that. Delivering God's message about the future, Jeremiah was mocked by everyone and became a subject of disgrace and reproach. And Jeremiah knew that. He knew that that would happen. Many people sought to accuse Jeremiah, and even his close friends watched for him to stumble and sin. When people don't like you or oppose you, most people, you know, dislike them and hate them because they're opposing you, and they expect, you know, the other person to stumble and, you know, want their lives to go wrong so that they can suffer. And that way they can say, that's karma. But Jeremiah received similarly how he was accused and persecuted from his friends, but he didn't want the others to stumble. While Jeremiah could avoid suffering by staying silent, he couldn't remain quiet. Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, "But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it." Those who know and love God find it harder to not carry out His will than to endure persecution and suffering. Jeremiah, as I explained, received God's words and knew God's will, and knew that if Jeremiah had not shared God's words to the Israelites, then his life wouldn't be as hard. He wouldn't receive that much persecution. And Jeremiah could have thought, should I not say anything then? But however, if he did that, then in his heart it would become like a burning fire. Jeremiah would be weary of holding it in. So Jeremiah didn't think of his life, his own life. Even if he received persecution, all he thought about was sharing God's words. When you are insulted and persecuted or falsely accused in the name of the Lord, you know, rejoice and be glad. You do this because it's reward in heaven. And I thank you for all the people that, you know, still share the gospel and evangelize despite knowing that they may receive persecutions. Pastor Emeritus also said once that when he preaches about the spiritual realm, that there will be persecutions. And sometimes when we think about persecution, we think, you know, this might be persecution or this might not be persecution. However, when the church explains about the spiritual realm, about angels, heavens, and hell, of course other people don't want to hear it. And because, you know, the enemy, devil, and Satan don't want to hear it either. They don't want the Christians to be awake and full of fervor. So when there are words that are spread full of lies, then that's how some people may get persecuted. But of course, as Pastor Emeritus said, when I say these words around the spiritual realm, we will receive sufferings. However, this is God's will, so I must preach these words on the spiritual realm. And because we know about the spiritual realm, we know these words, and so we can't stand still. We need to be awake, and we need to awaken all the other churches that are asleep and other Christians that are asleep as well. We must rejoice and be glad when insulted, persecuted, or falsely accused in the name of the Lord. We know that the reward in heaven from our Father is great. Historically, when a king was in danger, loyal servants disguised themselves as the king or became targets to save him. And after the danger passes, the king, in gratitude, would bestow great rewards upon these faithful servants. Not only are they greatly honored and glorified, but when the king dies, he bestows the highest reward he can give to the faithful servant and even to their descendants. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. This is because laying down one's life is the ultimate testimony of love and loyalty to the king. Similarly, if we suffer persecution, endure hardship, and even lay down our lives for the Lord, will not God, who is the Lord of all creation, respond in kind? For example, in the heavenly dwelling places, these people receive greater grace than others. Some who suffered persecution for the Lord loved him to the point of martyrdom, but hadn't yet fully attained sanctification. Believers who die without having completely cast off their sins cannot enter above the second kingdom of heaven. But martyrs are recognized for their love for the Lord and are permitted to enter the third kingdom or higher. So those who are sanctified, serve faithfully, and martyr enter New Jerusalem and receive indescribable glory and blessings. God remembers every act of faithfulness and labor and repays it with overflowing glory and rewards. Let's look at the heavenly house of a person who endured countless persecutions for the Lord and glorified him greatly. This person's house in heaven is spacious, with many rooms and fancy, beautiful gardens. So large that it would take a long time just to explore the whole land properly. The gardens, each with unique beauty, are named for their characteristics. Flowers, fruits, and water fountains vary in type, build, and design. These fountains are stunning sculptures and not only spout water, but some also emit fragrance or light. With the world's advanced technology, images can appear in the sky. Similarly, images are reflected through the fountains to reveal the meaning that the Father has put into each as a greater gift. And this is my explanation of just the what's in the gardens of the person who was faithful before Father God. And the great glory is indescribable. When we see there are back in the day when there were nations with kings, we can see servants who worked extremely faithfully for him. We can see that the kings also had separate residences and castles. You've got summer castles, and within those summer castles, they might have an especially great number of water fountains. And sometimes they may have castles where, you know, the sea is right nearby and they connect it with the water fountain or with the gardens. And in the summer, if there were lots of water fountains, then it would keep the temperature quite cool. And then sometimes the kings back in the day would have residences in warmer climates for winter. So the king didn't just have one palace or one residence. There were many, multiple. So if we think about God and heaven, how much more rewards and places would we have in heaven for the great glory before Father God? It will be the same when you enter the kingdom of heaven. Though you may not have physically given up your life, if the heart of all you do is martyrdom for the Lord, then the persecutions you have endured will be remembered, and you'll be repaid with rewards and blessings. The Father deeply loves you, and even the smallest desires of your heart will be fulfilled as you wish. 2 Corinthians 1:5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. God greatly comforts believers who suffer persecution for the Lord, not only in heaven, but also on earth. Many of you may have experienced this, enduring unjust suffering for the Lord with joy and gratitude, only to see God fulfill your heart's desires or provide unexpectedly the things that you needed. And as you overcome trials, your faith grows stronger and power and authority are given. You experience clearer communion with God, manifesting even greater works of His power. Even if there is no comfort on earth and you lose everything for the Lord and face hardship to the point of death, those with faith will be unaffected. Romans 8 verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. No amount of suffering can compare to the heavenly blessings and rewards that will follow, allowing believers to rejoice greatly. Dear brothers and sisters, remember this. The blessings given to those who stand with God's servant when they're persecuted for the Lord. When David sinned against God and was disciplined through Absalom's rebellion, God did not take pleasure in those who betrayed David and sided with the wicked. The faithful, knowing that David was God's servant, shared in the trials, even at the risk of their own lives. Afterwards, when David was restored to God's favor, those who remained faithful shared the blessings. What would you have done if you were one of David's subjects? At the time, David was receiving trials from God. And it wasn't a trial because David was full of goodness. It was because of David's prior sin. But David was still God's person. When David sinned before God and had unruly relationships with Bathsheba, when these incidences happened, God did not throw David away. But when, you know, a great prophet rebuked David regarding his sin, David repented and lived according to God's will. So David was able to fully repent under God's trials so that David didn't have any semblance of sin within his heart. So even through these trials, it wasn't to, you know, show evil. It was so that David could experience and have more love and goodness. With Absalom's betrayal, David was allowed to have these trials to transform his heart. And some people might think, oh, God threw David away because of his sin. However, people around David knew how faithful he was. But then sometimes some people around David followed their own wants, their own desires, or weren't able to discern between right and wrong and left his side. Some people remembered David's faithfulness and were able to discern between right and wrong and chose the right way. What would you have done? You need to think, would you have been able to discern wisely? Would you have known what's right and wrong? If you saw David and his subjects running away, your life might have been in danger. Same with the people that followed David with Absalom's army in close pursuit. They knew that, you know, abandoning him or hiding could ensure safety, and joining Absalom, who appeared to have the upper hand, might have restored their position. But they didn't. And I'm sure our church members as well wouldn't as well. If you know David's sincere heart toward God and the people, understand how much God loved him, then you would know that David would never forsake the king he served. So how much more will those who sincerely join in the suffering of God's servant for the Lord's sake share in the glory that follows? This is the will of our righteous God. Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 22:28-30, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Many hardships have been faced due to persecution for the Lord at our church. Those who have shared in these trials are now sharing in the blessings that come from it. During the 1998 and 1999 church trials, many of our members faced tests beyond human capabilities. Rather than seeking escape or leaving the church for personal gain, many stood firm. Despite facing persecution at home or work, our church members remained steadfast, focusing on how they could support the church and the shepherd, and how they could bear the burdens together. So when the trials ended, God rewarded and blessed them with growth in faith and blessings in both body and spirit. How did you go during the church trials in 2018? When we had these church trials, did you stay steadfast? If you did, then you would have received the same blessings in return. But these church trials were also in that way. We have these times to get rid of all the deep-rooted sin. And this is a great time of blessing. And if we follow the truth, the correct truth, based on all we have seen, heard, learned, and prayed, then we would have also received God's great love, growth in faith, and blessings. Discovering our shortcomings is also part of God's providence and love. Recognizing the hidden forms of evil within us is necessary to be purified as true children of God. So when we identify our shortcomings and what we've done wrong and thoroughly repent, God restores our first love and helps us experience a deeper and more complete transformation than before. We'll be able to grow in our love for God and our hope for heaven, becoming entirely different from before with a strong and courageous spiritual faith. So above all, the growing power of God in our lives will bring blessings, resulting in testimonies from our homes and workplaces that glorify Him. And all of this will become blessings for ourselves as well. Dear brothers and sisters, today concludes the sermon on the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes reveal not only earthly wealth and glory, but also the path to salvation, eternal life, and everlasting blessings. Consider how much effort people invest just to live a brief, blessed life on earth. Just look at the amount of time spent in education, spending about 16 years from elementary school to university. Even after finishing school, life doesn't immediately get comfortable, but leads into a new world of competition. For example, starting a job often means a long journey climbing up from entry level all the way to the top. You may face challenges like performance reviews, competition, and economic downturns, with each step requiring perseverance and all this effort just to live well for a few decades. Yet many people experience failure and discouragement. There are illnesses, accidents, and sometimes having children doesn't turn out as you hoped. Even if you work hard, accumulate wealth, and gain social status, a glance in the mirror shows the certainty of aging. Young strength fades, and nothing saved in this life can be taken to the grave. Life is fleeting and futile, full of vanity. But it's different for people who live for the Lord. They receive the eternal blessings promised in both this life and the life to come. Even if people lived in poverty like Lazarus on earth, or suffered, or gave up their lives for the Lord, they now await the incomparable glory of heaven that far surpasses any worldly blessings. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Like these verses, those who hold the citizenship of heaven do not long for worldly things, but live in hope of the glory that will be revealed. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will go forth into New Jerusalem and fully enjoy the blessings of the Beatitudes given by our loving Father God, both on earth and in heaven.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.